and welcome to session two of Aroma 2021 Emerging Stronger. A good friend of mine, Pastor Reba Samuel from Christ Harvest Church in Yorkshire, is speaking in this second session, and I really hope that you enjoy what she says. She's a very powerful speaker, and we're just really blessed that she agreed to speak, so I hope you enjoy it.
My love and greeting to every one of you at the Vine Church Conference, Emerging Stronger. What a wonderful title. What a great theme God has put in the heart of our dear pastors. Love to Pastor Alex, Pastor Jane, and the rest of the conference family, the worship team, every one of you. I love you so much. We miss you. It would have been great to be in person, but at least we get to meet online and pray and gather like this. It's a privilege to be able to do this in the season. So as I was praying, the Holy Spirit put in my heart the message for today on emerging stronger, the theme, just coming out stronger in this time of pandemic, not letting this pandemic or the world circumstances, the uncertainties of the world stopping us, but just moving forward in faith and moving forward in the love of God. So emerging stronger, not pulling down and not restricted and not withdrawing, but coming strongly forward. I feel what the Lord has put in my heart for every one of us here is from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, verse 16. So let's just read that together, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, verse 16. Now the Bible says that he would grant you, now you can say that where you are, that he would grant me, you can put your name there, that he would grant me and grant all of us according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that according to the riches of his glory, we will be strengthened in our inner man. The glory of God is going to strengthen our inner man. The glory of God. Now, this session, I want to talk to you about emerging stronger. What makes us to emerge stronger? And what the Lord said to me, what the Lord put in my heart is just this, that God wants us to go from glory to glory, that the riches of his glory, the extent of his glory, the weight of his glory is going to cause us to move from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Now we know in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3, verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty to emerge stronger. There's liberty to come out stronger. And then in verse 18, the Bible says, we are converted, we are getting transformed in the image and likeness of Christ from glory to glory. We're moving from glory to glory, conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Not conformed to the patterns of the world, not conformed to the difficulties of the world. We are getting transformed from glory to glory. And I believe that the glorious presence of His Holy Spirit, the glory of God, will cause us to be strengthened, that we would get on stronger, that no matter what the world situations look like, there's going to be a supernatural glory that covers our life. So I want to go into the book of Exodus just really briefly and share with us that the children of Israel were in a land called Egypt that wasn't their own. And there they were slaves for many, many years. And the Lord God Almighty calls a man called Moses and tells Moses to go and get the people free from slavery, from difficult circumstances. Now, when the people began to come out of Egypt, the Bible says that the glory of God, the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, guided them. And the Red Sea split for them. And they walked through dry ground. And there God caused the children of Israel to notice something very powerful. He caused them to see that Pharaoh, which is a type and symbol of Satan that oppressed the people of Israel, Pharaoh was destroyed before their own eyes. The New Testament tells us that Jesus Christ made a public spectacle of Satan, destroyed him on the cross of Calvary. And so the children of Israel came out. Then the Bible says the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left them. God takes them to a place called Mount Sinai. God told Moses that I want the people to come back to Mount Sinai. There I want the people to spend some time with me so that I can show them who I am, so that they could go ahead and inherit the promises that God had for them. And so what happens? The children of Israel come over here to Mount Sinai. And when they are in Mount Sinai, the Bible tells us that the whole book of Leviticus was given to them in Mount Sinai. It took them 1 year in Mount Sinai in the presence of God. But what happened in Mount Sinai? The Spirit of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord, the fire of the Lord, the glory of the Lord was on full display. The top of Mount Sinai burnt. And in Exodus 20 verse 18 onwards, you see that there's clouds, there's smoke. The Lord descended upon the mountain. And the people were so terrified. They said to Moses, we don't want to hear him. We don't want to experience it. Moses, you go ahead and experience it. We don't want to experience this glory. It's too terrifying for us. There, the people of Israel made a decision. Despite of the fact that God had descended upon them, despite of the fact that God was right there, they made a decision. They said to Moses, Moses, you experience this. You go up the mountain. In fact, God wanted the people to come up, but the people decided no. Moses, you hear what God has to say. You come back and tell us what God has to say. We will listen to you. You just, you know, be the best translator in the world. And you hear what God has to say. You come back and tell us and we'll do it. Whatever you say, we'll do it. No problem. And as Moses was up the mountain one of those times, the people here made a golden calf. You know, something that I learned from that experience is whenever we deny our need, whenever we deny ourselves, whenever we stop short of experiencing the glory of God, inevitably we'll go into making idols. Inevitably we'll go to make a fear as maybe our stronghold. Inevitably we will have other things that we go and rely on, whereas it's not God who has become our refuge. The children of Israel said, maybe Moses is dead up in the hills. It's time to have a God who guides us. And they put their golden ornament, including Aaron, was party to this. They made a golden calf. They began to sing and dance around this golden calf. What happened to them? They refused to experience the glory of God. I believe this is a time that God is making a public announcement to everyone everywhere. Come. Come to me. That is the call of God. And he says the glory of his riches. He will show us. You know how the scriptures start in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Is that the Bible tells us. You know, you see from verse 14. The Bible says I bow my knee to the Father. To the Lord of our Savior Jesus Christ. It says I bow my knee. By whom all the families of this world is blessed. Because he wants to show us the riches of his glory so that we may be strengthened. This glory of God was given to the children of Israel so that they would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit to go ahead and take on great promises for God. But you see a people here who said it's okay for pastors to experience glory. We don't want to experience it. It's okay for servants of God to experience the glory. We don't want to experience it. These people inevitably ended up having other idols in their life. They fell into what we call idolatry. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 verses 1 onwards all the way to 11. We begin to see that God wrote to every one of us that these people and their life were written to us as an example that we will not fall prey how they fell prey, and they fell into idolatry, that we should not have anything else above God in our life. The fear of coronavirus, I pray that you will not make it an idol in your life. That will not stop you from just going before the presence of God and say, God, I draw near to you in this season. And you know what happened to the children of Israel after that? Of course, God gave Moses another commandment and everything, and they started to build the tabernacle. Time came after the book of Exodus, we see the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, it's been 1 year since they have left Egypt. They now celebrate the second Passover. And after celebrating the second Passover, remember the first Passover is when they left Egypt. They celebrate the second Passover, they're ready to go. The Lord says, go up to Kadesh Barnea, and there go over and take on the promised land. So all the people go ahead. The pillar of fire, if you read the book of Numbers chapter 10 verse 11, there the Bible tells us that the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day was right there. The pillar of cloud lifted. Glory of God was their rear guard. They began to travel forward and they went to Kadesh Barnea. Then you know the story in Numbers chapter 13. The people sent out spies. 12 spies went ahead. It is the point in time where God tells us it is imperative for us to understand that without the glory of God, we do not inherit great promises. Now the time had come. Children of Israel had to go get their promise. They had to go take what the Lord had prepared for them. The land was for them. The spies went ahead. They went past the giants to get the big fruits. They went past the giants and went all over to the north of Israel. They traveled through and they came back. 10 of them bore bad report. They came back with terrifying news. They said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight. There are giants in the land. We're not able to take this place. But there was Joshua and Caleb. The people that had experienced the glory of God said, don't speak like that. Did God not say, I'm able to give this to you? And so when the others heard what Joshua and Caleb had to say, they were not ready to pay any attention. A people that are not willing to make the glory of God a personal experience often don't go ahead and receive the promises that God has for them. To come out strong and to take our inheritance that belongs to us. You know, we have to recognize that we have to go past some giants. In all our promised land, there are giants. It may be giants of fear. It may be giants of concerns and worries and anxieties. It may be giants of what will the future hold. It may be giants of our own self-limitations. But a people who was unwilling to experience the glory of God refused to take their promised land. You see, in the book of Exodus, you see that they built the tabernacle and the glory of God came upon the tabernacle. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 40, verses 34 to 38, there you see the glory of God fill the tabernacle. So much so the ministers, the priests couldn't even enter. The power of God, the glory of God was visibly in the middle of God's people. The tabernacle had an inner chamber. The most inner chamber was called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. In that most holy place, in the middle of the mercy seat, the glory of God would appear. And Moses would hear what God had to say and come back and tell the people what God had to say. The glory of God was there in the middle of these people. But the glory wasn't accessible for everybody other than Moses, because the people had denied God the request to be in his glorious presence. So look at a people who did not experience the glory despite of the glory being in their midst. And that's something that we should avoid. The Bible tells us that the promise of the Holy Spirit is given to all of us. The Bible tells us that when we're born again, the Spirit of God has come on the inside of us. We as God's people must not deny the presence of Jesus in our life. And we should say, God, I want to experience your glory. You know, the New Testament tells us Christ in you is the hope of glory. And there is a glory that God wants to reveal to us. You know, the Bible says in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9, the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former house. The former house was the temple of Solomon. It was glorious, and the glory of God came when they said, God is good and his mercy endures forever. The glory of God came. We know that. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, and in other places, the glory of God filled the temple. And yet Haggai the prophet comes and he says, the glory of the latter temple is greater than the glory of the former temple. And then the Bible tells us, know you not that you are the temple of the Most High God? Now the tabernacle that tabernacled in Exodus has become our body, that God would tabernacle amongst us. And in that exact same way, Jesus tabernacled amongst us. And then now that we are born again, Christ in us is the hope of glory. But we should not be like the children of Israel who don't participate in the glory that is actually available to us. My dear, dear, dear friends, my dear sisters in Christ, my dear co-laborers in Christ, God has called us to go from one level of glory to another level of glory. You know, in the book of Exodus chapter 33, Moses is pleading with God. Moses says, God, if your presence don't go with us, how will anybody know that we are your people? How is anybody distinguish us to anybody else? And there he pleads with God in verse 18, God, show me your glory. And you know, God calls the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God to pass before Moses. That same God is our God. Moses cried out to God, God, show me your glory. Because if it is not for the glory of God, how would the people that are heathens, how would the people that don't know Jesus, how will they know we serve a living God? And I am praying that through this conference, that you would emerge stronger by the weight of God's glory, that you begin to experience glory from one level to another level, in a level that you've not experienced before. I remember the time when I was baptized in water, and as I went into the water and I came out of the water, a cloud came upon me, and my entire body was shaking like a leaf. I knew the glory of God had come upon me. The voice of God and the glory of God was so clear. At that time, I know I could have done anything. The glory of God in a tangible way had come upon me. God's glory. You know, you may say, well, that's your experience. God's glory is all is available for all of us. It's for all of us. You know, the Bible tells us, in the book of Acts chapter 7, Stephen, the martyr, he started preaching. In verse 2, he started preaching about the glory. He said about the glory. He started talk about the God of glory. And then in verse 52, 53, the same chapter, he ended up seeing Jesus in all of his glory. You know, sometimes we ought to preach about the glory more and more till we see the glory of God. And when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened up, glory of God was there. When Jesus was born, the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone all around. For Apostle Paul in Acts 22, the Bible says that he saw the glory, the light of glory that he saw transformed his life. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, we see that God led his people through the glory. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 1, the end of that verse, and chapter 2, verse 1, there you can see the glory of God appeared to Ezekiel in many, many places. The Bible says, Spirit of the Lord caused Ezekiel to stand on his feet. God has promised us a glory, the riches of his glory, from glory to glory. Then the Bible tells us, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3, he says, if the former ministry, the ministry of Moses under the old covenant, if that was glorious, oh, how much more glorious. How much more glorious is this new covenant. The glory of the new covenant, the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former house. And we as God's people must be willing to say, oh God, you must show me your glory. I'm supposed to move from one level of glory to another level of glory. I'm supposed to emerge stronger. The Bible tells me, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. And I will say of my God, he is my refuge, my fortress, my Lord. In him I will trust. It's a great place to have God as our refuge. It's a great place to abide at the shadow of the Almighty God. It is time for believers to say, God, I must experience your glory. I can't just be a namesake Christian. Lord, when I go somewhere, is the glory of God intensely with me? You see, the glory gets intense as we walk with God. That's the riches of his glory. That is the greatness of his glory. And that's the kind of glory God wants us to experience in this time and season. My dear sisters, I want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart. I'm a student of the Bible. And I know with everything that I know in my heart, we are at the very end second, in the end minute. We are there at the end of the end times. At the very end of the end of the end times. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. Now, therefore, we have not seen things like this 20 years ago. We had servants of God preach to us that the entire world is in the sway of the wicked one. But we never saw it like we see it now. The entire world is in the sway of the wicked one. Not just one country, not just two countries, not just 10 countries. The entire world is in the sway of the wicked one. The time is coming close. In this time, it is time to emerge stronger by the glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It is important that we encounter that glory. Let's get back to our story where the children of Israel, the people who did not encounter the glory, did not participate in the glory, did not desire to experience it, failed to inherit the promises. The same ones who said, Moses, you experience this glory, we don't want to. Those same ones fell through from inheriting that which was rightly theirs. Those same people happened to see giants more significantly than God's promises. Well, the reality is that the giants of fear, the giants of trouble, the giants of struggles are real. They are real. God is also very real. It just matters who is more real. To these spies, to the 10 of them, the reality of the giants were stronger than the reality of God's glory. And that is where our Christianity comes to. Who is more real? Is the glory of God more real? Or is it our struggles that are more real? Let me tell you, the struggles won't stop being real. The struggles will remain real if glory has not become real. So what should we do if struggles seemingly are looking so real? This is what I would do. I would go to him and say, Lord, I am not willing to look at you with a veiled face. I want to look at you with unveiled face. Beholding your glory as in a mirror, transform me into your image and into your likeness. Grant me, O God, that I would walk in glory, that I would walk in your presence, that I would be strengthened in my inner man by the riches of your glory. God Almighty could not let these people inherit their promises, not because glory was not present, not because Pharaoh was not defeated. Pharaoh, who symbolically represents Satan, and Red Sea that represent baptism, manna that represent the spiritual food, it's all explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They passed through those same things. So now what stopped them from inheriting their promises? It's not God who stopped them. God's glory was present. They just refused to experience it. Satan was destroyed. What stopped them from inheriting what they needed to inherit? Their flesh and their unbelief. They did not believe God. Their flesh and their unbelief. That's what stopped them from inheriting what God had for them. Satan wasn't the reason. Neither was God. Their own flesh and their unbelief became their stumbling block. And I look at myself and I often think about it. Entire world may be in the sway of the wicked one. But since Jesus has defeated Satan on the cross, it's not Satan that really is my problem. It neither is God who made all things available for me on the cross of Calvary. It often is my limiting mindset, my belief system, my own flesh. I am my worst enemy. How do I overcome if I am my worst enemy? My ideologies, my belief systems, my mindset is the one thing that restricts me from going forward. How can I overcome? If I would like to share that with you. How would you overcome? How would I overcome? This is how to overcome. If you go with me there to the book of John chapter number 12, to verse 23, the book of John chapter number 12, verse 23. Book of John chapter 12, verse 23, let's read here. But Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Jesus here is about to go to the cross, and he gives the very answer we are looking for. He says, the hour has come, the Son of Man must be glorified. How do we experience his glory? And Jesus says, unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. Unless it falls to the ground and dies, there's only one thing we can do about the flesh, and that is called crucify it to the cross. It's called dying to self. I know it's a very old message. Old school people used to teach it. We've moved on from old school teaching. You've got great pastors there at the Vine Church. You know, you get great teaching there. But you see, a lot of churches have moved on to such a comfortable level of Christianity that we don't understand that flesh cannot be tamed. Flesh cannot be managed. Flesh has to be crucified. If I refuse to say, Lord, I deny myself, self is ready to die. Self, if it doesn't die, it will remain alone. If it dies, it will produce much fruit. So we say to all the hurts and pains and griefs and accusations and all of the stuff other people say, Lord, I'm dead to it all. I remember Catherine Kuhlman, before all her healing meetings, would stand up and she'd say, Lord, I die a thousand death. I die a thousand death. And she'd say like that with long pointy fingers, I die a thousand death. What she meant is, it's no longer her, but Christ who lives in her. And what she meant is, no glory for her, no lifting for her. Lord, I'm dead to self. Lord, I want to die to myself. It's not about me, but it's about you, God. This is the very recipe for glory. The recipe for glory is total surrender. The recipe for glory is, God, I lay my life at your feet. No longer I, but Christ who lives in me. I'm ready. This my life, let it be buried with you. Let me be risen with you, Lord Jesus. Let me experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we emerge stronger. We don't emerge stronger by fighting with all kinds of circumstances and struggles. We come out stronger, we emerge stronger by saying, I am dead with Christ. Now the life that I have, I live with the power of God on the inside of me. This is the resurrection life. This is the new life. This is the emerging life. This is a stronger life. This is the life of strength. This is the life when we say, let the weak say, I am strong. Because the weak one was buried. Now a strong one has come up. This strength is not of the world. This is of the Holy Spirit. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. I want to finish up. I want to summarize this by saying that whenever in our Christian walk, we're battling with so many things, so many issues of life, mental issues, psychological issues, financial issues. So many people have lost their job. We say we're grappling with situations. We're fighting about so many things and circumstances. Policy seems to be against us. Things are not going how we'd like it to go. Instead of battling with all of those stuff, this is time to say, Lord, I lay my life down for you. I lay my life down for you. Glorify me. That I would experience your glory like I've never experienced before. I want to show you something that happened in the Old Testament. I want to continue the story right there. In the book of Numbers, this whole generation went around the same mountain a long time. Went around some other mountains too, and they died. Then comes the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives them a lot of wonderful speeches, reiterates some fundamental things, and prepares them to go into the promised land. The whole generation that refused to experience God's glory perished. Then Joshua takes them into the promised land. And then after many years, we see in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verses 1 to 3, there the Bible tells us, now in the time of Eli the priest, the word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord was rare. Revelation was rare. The light in the temple was about to go off. In the tabernacle, sorry, was about to go off. This light was never supposed to be diminished. But there we see a scene. The light is about to go off. No more glory. The glory that used to visit that same tabernacle in Exodus 40 no longer seems to be present like it used to be. Now God is calling from heaven, looking for one little boy. Word is rare. Revelation is rare. Eli's eyes have become dim, which shows that he doesn't have any vision. Vision has gone down. Nobody seems to see what's going to happen in the future. Let me tell you, my beloved sisters in this wonderful conference, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter which way the world is going. I know the end is so near. So many end time things have to happen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Make Jesus your greatest vision ever. This is the only way we come up strong. We lay our life down and we say, Jesus, all I want is you. All I want is you. And in this time, in the time of Prophet Samuel, his vision was dim. God called from heaven, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel couldn't initially understand the voice of God, but ultimately he answers and says, here I am. And God begins to minister through Prophet Samuel. Another era had begun. God's eyes are going to and fro in the whole world, looking for who would be loyal to him. Then we see in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 4, a word called Ichabod. The glory had departed. My dear brothers and sisters, that's really how many, many churches are today. The glory has departed. We may have formal services. We may sing some songs. We may preach something. And while half the way through, people are sleeping. They don't have an encounter with God. Encounter with God has become a thing of the past. We're not understanding Christ in us is the hope of glory. We don't understand there's a glory that could be in this earthen vessel. The glory of the latter temple. The glory of the latter temple is greater than the glory of the former temple. We think about the Shekinah glory that was in the time of Moses and in the time of Ezekiel and all of the servants of God. And we think, wow, that's amazing. But God said, in this temple, in your temple, there's going to be a greater glory. And I pray that today, as you desire for this glory to be rekindled in your life, that you are going to be strengthened in your inner man. And it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. You're going to emerge stronger in this time, like never before. You're going to shine like never before. And the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen over you. Gross darkness may cover in the world, thick darkness, gross darkness may cover the world, but the glory of the Lord has risen over you. Come on, say that with me. God's glory has risen over me. It has risen over me, and Christ in me is the hope of glory. There is a glory that we have as a temple. There's a glory that comes upon us. All of this glory is available to us. Are we ready to make the journey of going from glory to glory? We'll say, Lord, this year is going to be glorious because of your presence. Not because of my ability, but because of your presence. This year is going to be great for me. Things are going to turn around for me. Things are going to work for me. Not because of who I am, but because of your mercy, because of your goodness, because of your glory that is strengthening me every single day. I pray that you are blessed as you listen to this. I pray that you understand it is necessary to experience this glory. It is necessary to experience the Holy Spirit. It is necessary to encounter him. Moses encountered him, Isaiah encountered him, Daniel encountered him, David encountered him, Paul encountered him, Jesus encountered him. They are our examples. Every one of our examples in the Bible encountered God's glory. We as believers should encounter him for ourselves. And I pray that even as I'm praying over you, that you would encounter his glory. Wherever you're watching, you will encounter your glory. Would you please lift your hands to heaven? Let's just pray together right now. Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to experience your glory. Lord, I don't want to be living in a life of Ichabod. The glory had departed from the children of Israel. Lord, I want to experience you. God, you purposed in your heart that you would come. And you did in the person of the Holy Spirit when I invited Jesus into my life. I ask your forgiveness for neglecting the presence of God in my heart. I pray that, Lord, reinstate to me my fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God, show me your glory. Walk me in your glory. I pray, oh God, that your heavy anointing will come upon everyone that is watching, that we will not have a namesake Christianity, that we would have a Christianity where when we stand and we call upon the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you would hear from heaven, that you would answer us. Oh God, I pray for everybody that is watching. I pray that the glory of God would be their rear guard. I pray the glory of God would rise over them. I pray, oh God, that they would experience days of greater glory. That I pray in the name of Jesus that we will be willing to pay the price of death to self to experience great glory. That we would see God is moving in our midst. I pray for revival. I pray for revival. I pray for great awakening. I pray, oh God, the fire of the Holy Spirit be rekindled in all our lives. I pray, oh God, a stirring up in our spirit. I pray a stirring up like never before. I pray that you would revive us by your word. That I pray that we would go from glory to glory. That we would emerge stronger by the glory of God. And I'm also praying, oh God, for if there be any sick in the body, I pray right now that spirit of infirmity, leave that body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all mental illnesses, I rebuke in Jesus' name the assignments of Satan against these precious people. And if there be chemical imbalances, let it be set right in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, families be blessed. Children be blessed. Let the hearts of the young and old turn to you, Lord. Let our hearts turn to you. Now, if you haven't had Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the time. Let me tell you, time's running out. Time is running out. God, like he gave the choice to Adam and Eve, life and death is set before us. Choose life. When they committed sin of unbelief, glory of God departed from them. And that same Jesus spoke to Martha in the book of John 11 verse 40 and said, Martha, if you can believe, you would see the glory of God. I pray that if you are able to believe now, you will see the glory of God. When God told Eve not to eat of that tree, she didn't believe that if she ate, she would be dead spiritually. She didn't believe. That unbelief cost her her glory. I pray that you're able to believe God and experience a great glory. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your promises. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. I pray that hearts are open right now. Open up your heart and begin to worship him wherever you are with your family, wherever you're watching, begin to worship and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I lay my life down. I believe you're the Son of God. Jesus, come into my heart. Just open your mouth and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive all my sins. I want to be a child of God. I want to be a child of God. I want to be in your kingdom. I want to choose life. I don't want to choose death. Spiritual death is a terrible death. It's an eternal death. I don't want to choose it. I want to choose eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive all my sins. Make me a brand new creation. Amen. Father, I thank you for everybody that prayed that prayer. Lord, I thank you that if they believe, they will see the glory of God. Lord, as you spoke to me, that these precious people will experience days of greater glory. I pray, oh God, your power be strong upon them. Your glory would be strong upon them. I pray, oh God, heavy anointing. I pray even on some, like a cloud, come upon them. The glory of God would come upon you, and you'd experience a greater level of God's glory and presence in the days ahead. Father, I thank you for all that you have put in my heart to share. I thank you for these precious people who have listened. I pray that you would bring your word to pass and not let the birds of the air pluck this word out of their hearts. I pray transformation, and I pray that your precious people will go from glory to glory. God bless you. I love you so much. So sorry once again we can't be together, but it's been a great blessing ministering to you the word of God. Love you so much. May all his richest blessing be upon you. Love again the Pastor Jane there and Pastor Alex and the whole family. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of this conference. God bless you.